You're listening to the iPhone Photo Show. I'm Jefferson Graham. Scott Bourne is on vacation this week, and in his place, I've got the iPhone 14 Pro. I'm going to tell you all about it with two of my pals, Rich DeMuro and Lance Ulanoff. We are going to compare notes. For starters, you know, we've been talking about this iPhone 14. There are four models. The two entry-level models will not be of much interest to photographers. They're basically just like the 13. The cool stuff is in the 14 Pro models. The range of prices starts at $800, goes up to $1,100. Though frankly, if you get the 14 Pro Max loaded, you're looking at $1,600, and that's before tax and before Apple Care. The major features of the 14 Pro Max are the sharper, higher resolution 48 megapixel shots that you can get in the wide lens if you shoot in RAW. You've got improved portrait mode, you've got improved selfie camera, and then there's two other features that Apple's touting that I am not keen on. Action mode was something I couldn't wait for. This was the feature that they claim will stabilize your video without having to use a gimbal or a grip. And in my tests, sorry, Apple, didn't work for me. I'm very disappointed with it. And they also claim about improved low light on all three of the lenses, when in fact, in my back-to-back tests of the 14 Pro versus the 13 Pro, you can barely see any difference. Go to the iPhone photo team. You can see my article there. Look at the pictures yourself. See what you think. iPhonePhotoTeam.com, and which is a perfect segue for me to remind everybody, please share your photos at iPhone Photo Team. Check, sign up for the site. Talk to people like me and Scott Bourne and Rich Harrington and other photo iPhone enthusiasts like yourself. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Platypod, which is the great tripod replacement. We've been telling you about Platypod for weeks. There's many uses for it. It's a great product. On that note, let's go to my first chat with Rich DeMuro. I was astounded by your action mode shot that you posted on Instagram, and it was so smooth. The action mode is where Apple says no gimbal needed, super steady. I have not been able to replicate the shot yet, and I've been trying.
Really?
Today. Yeah. Tell everybody how you did it, because you did it from two angles at Apple Park.
Well, yeah, so I was the only person to do this, by the way. And so I was the only person to be wild enough to take one of the phones from the counter and run around with it. And I thought I was going to get kicked out, but I didn't. So that was good. But yeah, I took one of the phones off the table and I just said, hey, let's try this action mode thing. It was at the end of the whole thing. So people were kind of like getting out of there. And I just ran. I had my photographer record me from his camera to kind of show the shakiness of things. And I ran with the camera and we kind of spliced it together. And the shot that I got was quite incredible. Now, I will tell you, Jefferson, the lighting in that area, in that Steve Jobs theater, the hands-on demo, yeah, is pretty amazing. And so that could have contributed to the shot. But I did some shots over the weekend with my kids and they're quite impressive. And so I'm a believer in this action cam mode.
Okay, so Apple did say you need to run. That walk and talk, it won't kick in. You need to be running. Is that what you found?
Well, I mean, what do you mean by kick in? Because you can just toggle it on, and I think that running makes it smoother.
Well, okay. If you're walking, I get bouncy. Know, the usual what happens when you walk down the street. People cannot see what I'm doing, but you bounce when you walk, no matter what.
Yeah. Right? Oh, absolutely. And it's just, I mean, look, you know, the hallmark of a bad video that you see online is just like the bouncy walking. You know, you go on YouTube and there's 1,000 videos of people bouncy walking, showing things off. I was running all the times that I tried it. And so maybe I need to try it walking and see what happens. But I think the idea behind it is really more for, you know, those shots that you might hold a GoPro for, and you can replace some of those shots. It's not as durable as a GoPro to begin with, and it's not as small. And there's also, you know, GoPro we strap to cars and things like that. I'm not sure I'd do that with my iPhone, but it's kind of a nice thing to have for sure.
Yeah. Now, I always use the GoPro for my driving shots, and I just put it on the windshield wiper. And then a few months ago, I tried one where my wife did the driving and I stuck the iPhone out the window. It was just as good.
Yeah. I mean, look, the iPhone is slowly, I was thinking about this. The iPhone is slowly but surely peeling off just about every, or picking off every single consumer gadget that we have used over the years. Everything from timers to, you know, obviously the camera, now the GoPro, microphones, speakers. I mean, there's just so many things that the iPhone has replaced. It may not be as good as a dedicated gadget, but when you're traveling, you're in a hotel room, you need to listen to some music, boom, you've got a speaker on your phone. It's fine.
Yeah. Now on the walk and talk, I did try selfie cam. Okay. Selfie cam, turning it on me for the walk and talk, which was better on the 14 than it was on the 13. Did you try that at all?
I haven't tried the selfie shots yet. So I need to test that out too. But I've been taking some pictures with it. I feel like the video on the iPhone is really good to begin with. We shot an entire TV news story with it. Our story today on the air, we shot with the iPhone 14, and so, or 14 Pro, I should say. And it looked fantastic. I think the video actually looks a little different than previous years. I think that it's a little bit brighter. I think that there is some tweaking that needs to go on actually. So I think that it's good. And this new camera setup is nice, but I do think it doesn't look as warm and rich right now as it did historically.
Okay. What's your overall feeling about the new camera?
Am I blown away by the new camera? Do I think my shots are looking so much better? Not yet. I think that in low light circumstances, it definitely is taking a little bit shorter to take pictures, I've noticed. But I'm not noticing like a leap of generational photos. And I think that, the iPhone has become so good at taking pictures effortlessly. I think it's really tough to kind of match that. The zoom is still, I took out the S22 Ultra today and I kind of compared some of the zoom, and it's still really fun to be able to zoom 10 times in optically. And I thought we were going to get something like that on the iPhone, but we didn't. The 3X, the 2X, the 1X is still good, but the 2X kind of, to me, seems kind of odd. That why do we need that middle ground there? I know there's a reason behind it technically. Technically, it's a better quality shot than the 3X, but do we need 2X? I don't know.
Yeah, at first glance, because I just got it today, I don't think the average person will see the difference in most of the photos. Now, I did shoot some 48 megapixel, and I'm going to take them in the computer, and I'm going to crop the living daylights out of them and then see what that little sliver will look like, which you couldn't do before, which would probably be about the only thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing for a what quote unquote real photographer. Now, the average person, I don't think needs to be taking pictures in 48 megapixels. They're going to really gobble up a lot of space on your phone. I was looking at the 48 megapixel shot I took, and it was, 20 something megabytes, I think. They're considerable. And so do you need that? I don't know. Let me see. I tweeted out the size today, and I kind of compared the 108 megapixel photo from the Samsung to the iPhone. Okay. So it is, let's see here. It is 48 megapixels, 53 megabytes.
Yeah. Right.
And by the way, the base model is 128 gigs. So
yeah,
you don't want to be taking 4K video and 48 megapixel photos with 128 gigs.
Yeah, it was 25 megabytes on the previous edition.
Oh, it was 25 before that.
For when it was raw, for raw.
Okay, for raw, yeah. I mean, look, if you need that functionality, I think that Apple just keeps adding slowly but surely these little features that people request. At this point, this is a mass market phone. So the mass amount of people are using like the most basic features. And honestly, I don't want to, judge people and how they take pictures, but most people are barely using the iPhone right for any sort of like extreme circumstance when it comes to pictures. So the fact that they build in these features for pro photographers or prosumers is a nice thing to have when you're creating your content on this device.
Okay, nice thing to have, but I would find it hard to go up to a photographer and say you have to upgrade from the 13 to the 14 because the camera's that much better.
No, I would agree with that at this point. And I, you know, I've only had the phone for a little bit, so I can't say that I've taken pictures in every circumstance. But I will say that the iPhone is not, look, if you're a creator and you're using this iPhone as your daily driver and you want to make content and you want to have the best iPhone, of course you're going to upgrade. For the average person, you don't even need to be on a 2-year cycle upgrade. You could be on a 3+ year cycle upgrade and you'll be just fine. Most people are not analyzing pictures the way that you and I are, or especially you. I'm not even analyzing them to that extent. Video camera, all this stuff. I mean, the iPhone has been good at taking pictures for years now. And so, yes, is it better in certain circumstances, like those birthday cake pictures, you know, blown out the candles? Does the video look a little bit better at night? Is a little more detail on things? Absolutely. But most people don't really analyze this stuff. And if you're comparing side by side, that's when you really notice.
Yeah. What I will say is that a few years ago, I surrendered to Tim Cook and I said, okay, that's it. Fine. New one every year. Great. You've sold me. And when you look at the cost of this device that you use every day, all day long, you're talking $1.50 a day, basically, if you sell your old iPhone for $500. And it's definitely worth it. It's, you know, do you like to spend lots of money to stay in fancy hotel rooms that you'll get for 2 nights? I mean, that's basically what you look at. You look at 2 nights at a fancy hotel room. So I would definitely get the 14, but I would not argue to anybody that they actually had to have it.
Now, when you say 14, do you mean 14 Pro?
14 Pro, because, 14 Pro.
Because I would say there's even less of a justification for the 14. I mean, they, you know, the upgrades on the 14 are very minimal to the camera. I mean, yes, apparently there's some new stuff going on in there. But to me, I think that that's an even less obvious upgrade, because that's the kind of thing that you get when you're coming in for the new iPhone. It's like, oh, I want to get the latest 14. Okay, fine. But back to your point, I read your Substack about, you know, the upgrade, and it really, like, it kind of resonated, because, you know, I do think there's a certain element of people out there that hem and haw on this stuff. Do I need it? Do you need it? Absolutely not. I mean, you were fine with your iPhone several generations ago. Do you want it? Yes. Do you want these new features? Some of them are hardware only. Sure. I mean, the action mode is something you're just not going to be able to get at this point, as far as I know, on the previous devices.
Right.
You know, the 48 megapixels, you're not going to be able to get on the previous devices. The better low light, wide angle pictures, you're not going to be able to get on the previous devices. So if those things are important to you, it's great. Now, I think there's some other features, the safety feature. I know this is a photography thing, but the safety features, I think, are the bigger driver to me to have this phone. If I was lost in the middle of nowhere and I couldn't do SOS emergency, I'd really be kicking myself. And I'd be like, I know this is available and I don't have it.
Yeah. And then you probably like Dynamic Island too.
You know, I'm not sold on Dynamic Island, actually. I'm shipwrecked on Dynamic Island right now, because I think it's interesting, but I think that they made a good or a better thing out of something that's not very good. And so by accentuating this notch, well, now it's a pill on this phone, you know, they brought more attention to it. Is it useful? I don't know. I don't seem to think so. I mean, I was using my phone just fine without the Dynamic Island. And I actually think it's actually tougher to swipe down for your notifications now. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I find it much trickier to swipe down for my notifications with the Dynamic Island there. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. Well, getting back to the camera, my biggest beef with the iPhone is the ultra wide and how poor it is in low light. It's been great in great light, but in low light, it just falls to pieces. So I haven't been able to shoot in low light yet since I've had the iPhone 14. So I look forward to trying some night shots. And as you know, I like to get up really early. So I'll take some pictures tomorrow morning too.
Well, I took some this morning.
You get up actually. So everybody should know Rich DeMuro wakes up before I do.
Yeah, I wake. This picture was taken at 4:36 this morning of the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. And so I took that. I took the Pantages. I do think that there is an improvement in the wide angle at night. And I think that it's not a huge improvement, but it's definitely there. It's definitely clearer than it was before. I'm seeing more detail. I will say one thing that is a little off with the cameras is I'm not sure they're as calibrated from the 1X to the 3X this time. And so I feel like there needs to be, like last night I was taking some pictures of the sunset, and when I was moving between those lenses, it was very different color temperatures. And wow. So, you know, these phones aren't out yet. I mean, they're, you know, there will be an update that will tweak some of these things, I'm sure.
All right. So were you with a crew at 4:30 in the morning?
Nope. Just by myself.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't get out of my car.
Oh, thank you. I just,
these were from the window of my car, but, you know, I like to take these over and over the same pictures so I can compare them over the years. And this is some of the best pictures I've seen of these low light kind of theaters that I've taken. And I think, you know, this whole, the idea that the iPhone takes great pictures is fine, but it's really these really unique situations that you find yourself in, like a concert or like some sort of party at night or some sort of low light situation, that's when you truly realize how good or bad a camera is on a phone. Because if you're taking, you know, if you have to hold your phone steady for 6-8 seconds to take a picture, your picture is not going to be very good.
Right. Though I've shot stars at 30 seconds. No, 10 seconds, right?
With a tripod, I'm guessing.
No, 30 was with a tripod, 10 was handheld.
With a Pixel?
With the iPhone 13.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's still no star mode on the iPhone. Let's be honest. It's.
I would agree. I think it looks crappy, despite what other people say. No.
Do you need that?
No. I mean,
if you're taking pictures of stars, you have a setup that takes pictures of stars. And so it's a fun gimmick that you can take a picture of the moon on the Samsung and the stars on the Pixel. But let's be real. Who's doing that on a regular basis?
Right.
Not many people.
There's no reason to. But all in all, iPhone 14 Pro, an improvement over the 13, slight. You don't have to buy it, but if you want the latest and greatest, why not? Right?
I would go with that. And I think that, like you said, with the upgrade plans and the, you know, most people are on some sort of upgrade plan at this point, or many people. And so it's a nominal kind of, you're going to put out some money, but I feel like Apple products are at their best when you get them when they first come out, because they come out with a new one a year later. So you want to get the most use out of that thing in that year.
Remind everybody how to see, hear, and read all about you.
I am at Rich on Tech on all social media, and I am 99% of the time, the video that you see on my social media is shot on the iPhone, unless I specify I'm testing a different phone. But I create a lot of content on this thing, and it's really done a pretty fantastic job.
And of course, if you're in LA, watch KTLA TV, which I think you could pick up in other markets as well, right?
Yeah, you can see me from time to time in different places, but we have a KTLA Plus app as well, which you can download to your TV and watch me there. I can't believe I failed to mention my bread and butter, that I'm on TV. But yes, social media, TV, it's all good.
All right. Thank you, Rich. So now we've got Lance Ulidoff, the U.S. Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, a longtime friend and tech expert. And social media expert, as it says on his Twitter feed. Lance has been using the iPhone 14 Pro for a few days. Camera-wise, photos you took on the 14 versus the 13, you saw a big difference.
Yeah, I can definitely see the difference. And, you know, I think it's a combination of all that stuff. Those cameras, I mean, when you look at the phone, what's really interesting, and you look at the camera array, you will notice that all the lenses are bigger. They're actually larger. You know, at first you think, no, maybe that can't be right. But then you take a look, they are. I measured them with a ruler because I had to know if I was like, was I crazy? They are in fact bigger. And in fact, if you look at the, all of the cameras across the whole iPhone 14 line are somewhat bigger and different. And like, I am able to fit the iPhone 13 Pro in an iPhone 14 Pro in an iPhone 13 Pro official Apple case. So even though—
Wait a minute, you put the 14 in a 13 case.
Yeah, it did fit, but it could not fit the iPhone 14 in an iPhone 13 case. So there, the shift had become too much. So—
Okay, what about ultra-wide? Ultra-wide was the least sharp lens on the 13. It's the one that fell to pieces in low light. They're claiming 2x, 3x, all sorts of craziness. Did you find a big improvement?
I am seeing an improvement. You know, one of the ways you can tell an improvement on the ultra-wide lens is when you use it in a macro mode, because that's what's powering that kind of shot. So I wasn't impressed with Apple's macro capabilities on the iPhone 13. And I guess because it was using that particular ultra wide lens, it was not, I had been shooting macro photography with the OnePlus. I think it was the OnePlus 9 when it came out, and I loved it. It was just, this is so cool. And the iPhone 13 was disappointing. Pro was was disappointing, but not this. I've actually taken some really cool shots, and the definition, there's in my review, there's like a shot of a leaf branch and the sort of little tendrils coming off of it, which you cannot, when you're looking at it, you do not see this, you know, like if you just naked eye. And it got that shot. And I took another shot of water droplets, and I was like really impressed with the clarity that I was getting and the color. You know, because again, when you're getting that close, you're really cutting down the ability of the light to get into the sensor. You know, it's like you're two centimeters away from your subject. But it did a really good job. I think people are going to shoot a lot more macro photography with these phones, the Pro phones, than they did before.
All right, let's close out with action mode. Action mode was the selling point for me. The reason I wanted it, based on their sales job, as a guy who makes video every day, the idea that I don't need a gimbal, I don't need a grip, it's going to be smooth as silk. Apple's promo had it smooth as silk. My quick little test this morning, not at all. My walk and talk was bouncy. I needed to run to make it a little smoother. What's your experience been?
Yeah, I actually, so I did two tests, both of which I kind of ran. So I thought, okay, if you have something that's going to, that's for action, let's do real action. So I was in the airport, I took the phone, started running, and I purposely wasn't being careful about it. I was like, let's just try. I did it both with and without to see. And certainly there was a noticeable difference. Now it did not, it's not smooth as silk. It's not as good as a physical gimbal, it just isn't. But it helps. But it helps in a way that, you know, I kind of tried to make this clear in the reviews that it's a digital interpolation that allows it to happen. And what it does is it cuts away. So if the whole frame is moving like this, it just it makes it so it can keep things smooth by cutting away some of the stuff that might drop out. So you lose actually some information, and you can tell when you look at side-by-side videos how it, you know, but it is, I want to give them credit here because it is not an easy thing to do, because simply cropping in would not be enough. You have to intelligently move the frame to keep it all smooth. And they get pretty close to doing that. I'd say that it's, I'd be interested to see, I'm interested in what you said there, because I didn't purposely take it easy on it, but I wonder if I had done less, would it have been less effective? I really don't know. But it's a replacement for a real gimbal. It's a cool thing that if you want to put it on your bike and you don't want people to really feel sick with all the bumping and jostling, but I'm just not sure how incredibly useful it's going to be.
Right, unless you make video every day. Compared it to a GoPro, compared it to the Insta360, because they both are pretty smooth.
Yeah, I would say I've tried the Insta360 and I actually have used the stuff that smooths out. I think that does a better job than this. I don't think it's there yet. This feels like, and here's the nice thing about this though, it feels like, you know, V1, right? But it's totally software. Right. So you know that there'll be an update that'll probably, maybe halfway through this year, maybe sooner, that'll probably give some adjustment to it. They may even give some control over the level of smoothness, like what you give up to get that.
Yeah, I found it interesting. It defaulted to the ultra wide when I put on action mode, and I expected it to default to the wide angle lens. But
yeah, well, that may be because of the amount of information it wants to gather to sort of give you a good frame. Because you definitely, if you shoot the same video and you look, you will see that the frame is tighter.
Right. Anyway, Lance, remind everybody how to find you.
Well, of course, I'm U.S. Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar.com, so you can find me there. I'm on Twitter, Lance Ulanoff, on Twitter. And I guess I'm even on TikTok, where I've been posting some unboxing videos. So you check that out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us, and have fun taking more pictures.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. You've been listening to the iPhone Photo Show, which has been brought to you by our good friends at Platypod. Don't forget to check us all out at the iPhonePhotoTeam.com to share your photos, talk to other iPhone photography enthusiasts like yourself. Scott Bourne will be back with us next week. Don't forget, you can catch both of us at the iPhone Photo Team. You can look for Scott on Twitter, where he's at Scott Bourne, B-O-U-R-N-E. You can look for me on Twitter, at Jefferson Graham. Please check out my YouTube series, Photo Walks TV. And we will see you next week here at the iPhone Photo Show.